Welcome to the Memoirs of Her. This is your host, Sindura Menes, on the Memoirs of Her. H standing for humble, E standing for exquisite, R standing for resilience. Please be advised this is a podcast in session coming to you with an adventurous and humorous life journey of a mysterious woman, including her accounts in life. So tonight's topic is going to be about fear of commitment in relationships. Interesting topic tonight. Fear and commitment are two active belief systems. Fear of the unknown and commitment to the known. Negative thoughts and influences can fuel a person's fear factor of the unknown. And positive thoughts and motivations can fuel a person's degree of potential to the known. To eliminate fear is to introduce courage. Courage to overcome the idea of the unknown into creating the unknown with security. Commitment is a choice and active practice for improvement. Improvement unlocks our greatest potential. But understand that commitment isn't an occupational theory. It is fear of the unknown that makes commitment the radical. Especially when actively committing to a belief system with devotion and responsibility based on respect of person. So fear of commitment in relationship is not about just acknowledging emotional immaturity. It is about self-reflection and analyzing what it is that we deny or self-sabotage within ourselves due to an underlying issue. So the question lies, are we capable of committing to our well-being and not our selfish needs? Or are we capable of overcoming fear as a blockage to a healthy commitment between two people or more relationship-wise? So those are the questions that are at hand. It's just open and optional. Not something that you have to, you know, take responsibility in answering, but it is something to think about when evaluating why you are fearful of commitment, if you are one of those people fearful of commitment. Okay, so without further ado, we're going to get right into the show with this beautiful, mellow saxophone instrumental playing in the background. It kind of like, you know, neutralizes the mood and, you know, make everything go nice and sweet, you know. But anyway, so let's get to it. The question is, what causes people to fear a commitment? Now, the list that I have, you can agree to disagree with me, but I think these are some underlying issues as far as why some people fear commitment in itself. Okay, so the first fear of commitment can be caused by past traumatic relationships. So in other words, you know how when people go through a relationship, sometimes it could be seasonal, and they go through all of the motions, they go through all of the rules and regulations of a relationship, or what they think, or the idea of what they think a relationship and how it's supposed to be conducted, but not realizing that at the end of the day, that the other person is not as committed as they thought the person was, or they realize that the relationship title wasn't as important to the other person as it was to them. And sometimes, you know, betrayal and disappointment happens in those types of relationships where people get hurt. And sometimes people get hurt beyond repair, you know, or damaged beyond repair based off of how the relationship ends between the two people. So I fear at the end of the day that a lot of times when people go from relationship to another relationship, not taking the time to heal or get rid of their baggages, they tend to perpetuate the same cycle and become the common denominator of all relationships that they start new. And always feeling that, oh, it's the other person, whoever they date, not realizing that inadvertently they are attracting those types of people who are not good for them, only because they are reflecting the baggages or the hurt or the healing that they need to do within themselves. Because a lot of times when you are a broken person or you are hurt, as they always say, hurt people hurt other people. And then sometimes you got people that's out there that are vicious and mean and will kind of like destroy you, destroy your whole essence, everything, your whole vibe and everything about you, all because you didn't take the time to heal as a man or heal as a woman. So a lot of time you create these traumatic events and experiences when you go into relationship, and this is what causes the fear of commitment. So when you think that you're in a relationship and you're going through the emotions and you think that it's a title on it, you're not realizing that at the end of the day, because you haven't dealt with the baggages from the past, you do have a fear of commitment. And because you have that fear, you're not going to allow yourself to feel that though, as though you deserve certain things or quality, a good quality relationship, because you have not healed and you don't even understand what a healthy relationship is from an unhealthy one. Sometimes people think that an unhealthy relationship is what carries the relationship, is what it's all defined, and it's really not. Relationships is not about arguments. Relationships is not about just not trusting a person or feeling like you have to invade another person's privacy because you don't know how to trust yourself or trust the other person, or you don't know how to carry on in a relationship where you think that you're supposed to be the parent and the person is the child, and you're not respecting the other person as an adult, and you feel as though you could treat the person any kind of way. And then when the person retaliates back onto you and say things that hurt your feelings, or they end up treating you a certain way, it kind of perpetuates whatever unhealed emotion that you have within inside yourself that you haven't healed. So this is why it causes a traumatic feeling when you don't realize that, okay, maybe you need to just be single and deal with yourself, because maybe you are the common denominator of failed relationships or just failing in general. You think that inside, okay, you deserve certain to be treated a certain way, and you may be right, but are you treating yourself accordingly? Are you treating yourself the way that you feel as though you need or deserve to be treated, instead of expecting for someone to treat you accordingly? You have to be realistic. And if you know that you haven't healed, then it's impossible, and it's a contradiction to the fact of what you feel of how you're supposed to be treated compared to how you carry on in relationships and thinking that you're supposed to get a different outcome in return. Doing the same thing and expecting a different outcome in relationship is insanity. So, past traumatic relationships is what caused people to fear commitment, because at the end of the day, they don't really trust themselves. They're not mature enough to carry on a relationship accordingly and go through the healing process, being realistic, being honest with themselves. Okay? Another factor that causes people to fear commitment is their inability to give of oneself 100%. Sometimes people feel as though, because I've been hurt, I'm going to only give 50. Rather not 50, but 25% of myself, because for just in case if the person disappoints me, or just in case if the person hurts me. So it's almost as if you're expecting the person to disappoint you and hurt you in a relationship because you're not giving 100% of yourself. You're not realizing that if you know that you have gone through a healing process and you know that you have forgiven and you're over, you know, a past relationship or whatever the case might be, you forgiving yourself, forgiving the person, then you know going forward, you can give 100% of yourself, because you know that not all persons or people are the same. Now, when it comes down to people reflecting certain things that need to develop within yourself, you may meet the same person, the same situation and scenarios, but in different people, because it's just reflecting on what you need to heal within yourself. But if you know that you've gone through a healing process, you know as a mature adult that you know that every person is not the same person. So it's okay to give 100% of yourself and not say, okay, well, I'm not going to do XYZ because of this, or I'm not married yet, or finding excuses to not be your best version in a relationship when you're with someone, all because you fear a commitment that you think that you're going to end up in a failed relationship. So this is what causes people to fear commitment, because of their inability to give of themselves of 100% based off of their false belief system of what they have. Another factor is the lack of benefit and potential in a relationship. When a person feels as though they are not giving of themselves, or they feel as though they get in the short end of the stick and they're not really benefiting from the relationship, this is what causes people to fear commitment, because at the end of the day, it means that they will allow anything to go. That means that they will allow certain types of behaviors from other people that is unacceptable. And at the end of the day, it's all because they fear commitment. Fear the fact that they don't deserve to be treated a certain way if they know that when they come forth in a relationship, they give all of their respect. They give all of their efforts, but in return, they're not benefiting, you know, and the potential of the relationship is not blossoming because of the person's behavior and how they view a relationship. So this is why fear of commitment is prevalent and what causes people to not want to commit in a relationship, because of the problems, the issues, the drama, the chaos that comes with it because of a toxic person. Okay, another factor is fear of giving up their freedom and individuality in relationships. So I feel a lot of times men grow through this. Men feel as though when, or sometimes women, very rare, but it's men where they feel that, okay, if I be committed to this girl, I know at the end of the day that I'm going to go out and be with somebody else outside of the relationship, whether I'm hiding it from her or being honest about it. I'm still going to do it because of my freedom. I want to be able to do whatever it is that I want to do because I'm an adult, right? At the end of the day. So people fear giving up that part of their freedom because they feel that they're going to lose autonomy in a relationship, meaning they're not going to have no say, or they feel as though the person is being more bossy in a relationship and they can't really do what they really want to do, you know? And that goes back to their individuality, you know, being who they are in a relationship without feeling stifled. So a lot of times, you know, this is why some men or women will fear a commitment, because they know that they have to give up that part of themselves for a certain type of responsibility or being committed in that relationship per se. Okay, and a lot of times some men just feel as though they always like something new, always feeling as though the grass is greener on the other side. It's sometimes of how men think, and sometimes females, you know, not just men. Then the inability to take accountability for actions, your decisions, and repercussions in relationships. This is why people do not, you know, commit, and they fear commitment, because a lot of times people don't want to take accountability for their actions, once again, their decisions, or repercussions in a relationship. They always look to blame the other person for all of the things that they do in the relationship. That's what they do. You know, and because they can't take accountability, they will always be short of the level of maturity that they need to maintain a healthy relationship. Okay? Relationship and commitment is about being accountable for all of your actions that you do. Being real and honest to understanding what have you catered to, or how did you cater to the destruction of your relationship, or things not going right, or whatever the case might be. When you could be real about that, then you could be able to have a healthy relationship. And then understanding when you take accountability for every decision, that you're not being selfish when you're making a decision, when you're dealing with someone in partnership. And then you also realize that you take accountability for repercussions, consequences, when you didn't take the right action, when you didn't make the right decisions. Are you taking accountability for that? Because that's what mature relationships is all about at the end of the day. Okay? So now that I talked about what caused people to fear commitment, I wanted to talk about how to deal with triggers encouraging fear of commitment. But as I do that, I wanted to share I wanted to share Blair Smith, her comments on commitment, fear of commitment, and then I want to be able to go over my thoughts on her statements that she made in her book, per se, on how to deal with triggers encouraging fear of commitment. Okay, so with that being said, give me a second. Okay, so before I even go to her comments and giving my thoughts on that, I wanted to go back to just the fact of how to deal with triggers and encouraging fear of commitment. Okay, so the first thing I wanted to highlight is that when you are being triggered, or when that fear is being triggered when it comes down to commitment, I think the first thing that needs to be done is to understand that not all people are the same, and every relationship is an opportunity for your development and growth. That's how you should be able to look at commitment in itself, and to, you know, alleviate any forms of fear that you have while being in a relationship with someone. Okay, the second thing that I think people should take, well, the actions that I think that people should take, is determine the value of applying yourself to a particular goal or outcome, giving 100% of yourself. Because when you give 20% of yourself, how could you determine your fullest potential in a relationship, or how could you ever grow if you're only giving 20%? When all relationships require at least 100% of yourself to at least grow and evolve, and to actually go through experiences other than just being stifled by past experiences and being closed in a box. Okay? The third thing I think that people should be able to do is determine the benefits of a commitment instead of just being committed to the unknown. What good is it to understand what you need to be committed to, and you're being committed, but it doesn't feel good? So understanding, okay, if I choose to be committed to this cause or this goal or this outcome, what am I going to get in return? Sometimes your benefit may not be tangible. Sometimes your benefit could actually be intangible. Something such as being trusted, a trusted person, being reliable. Those things are so important, okay? So when you are evaluating the benefits of being committed, think about that. Carefully think about the commitment rather than just being committed to the unknown. You don't know what the outcome is going to be. You know, you don't want to be that way because, like I said, it is boring, you know, and it can be fearful at times to admit to that. No contradictions. The fourth thing I think that people should do is redefine what freedom and compromise mean to them. For example, freedom can be looked upon as careless, carefree, optional, and choices. While compromise, on the other hand, can be looked at as careful, cautious, stable, and decisions being made. And this is what can lead to people being committed. When you carefully think about something, you take caution, and you understand that stability is more is better than instability of a relationship. And then making a decision, not just a choice. A choice is like saying, you know, choosing between yes and no. But a decision is understanding why you're saying yes, and the outcome of you saying yes. You taking the time to think about it versus just choosing yes or no, you know, and going through the process of that decision making. That's important. Okay. And the fifth and last thing I think a person should do is take accountability and responsibility in all of their relationships, because accountability and responsibility go hand in hand. And without taking accountability for something you are responsible for can lead into a perpetuated cycle of immaturity, drama, complexities, and confusions. So when you feel that, oh, I can be responsible without being accountable for my actions, it is a contradiction to you having a healthy and committed relationship. If you don't take accountability for your actions and your decisions that you make, no matter how much responsibility you take in a relationship, you're going to always be a broken soul or a broken person because you didn't take the time to heal yourself and learn that accountability is about maturity. Understanding what needs to be changed within you. If you know that you're the common denominator of all failed relationships, whether you are a man or woman. Okay, now moving along to what are the signs of someone who fears a commitment. Now, I do have to give my research, Anna Kanna. I did a research on Anna Kanna and her views on the signs of failed relationships. So I have to give credit to where credit is due. So I'm sharing it on the show to highlight to my listeners what the signs are of people who fear commitment. And I'll give my thoughts on it very briefly. But I'm going to go over the list. So one of the things or the tell signs are having an ideal list of people who you would like to date or marry. Okay? Overly critical of suitors on a date. Lack of interest in originality in a relationship. Attracted to emotionally unavailable people. Attracted to people who will abandon you. Scarred from a previous relationship. Create distance intentionally between potential suitors. Often hot and cold in a relationship. And last thing, I think non-committal or being non-committal in a relationship often resorts to a friend zone or friends with benefits, and short-lived relationships that are often seasonal, no more than 3 months or less. Okay, these are all signs of people who fear commitment. Now, going back up, Anna Kanna has stated having an ideal list of people who you would like to date or marry. Sometimes I think this is so cliche and it's so shallow for a person to have, because not in all cases are you going to find a person with all of the attributes and aspects of how you want your ideal person to be. It's not going to be. And if you do get that in appearance, it's just a shallow perspective of what you desire, and it doesn't warrant stability or having a healthy relationship with that person. Is just what you wanted from a shallow perspective. Okay, so somewhere underhandedly, when it comes down to just having somebody just there like a trophy, you know how some men feel, you know, it can also stimulate from the man not wanting to settle down and fear commitment to a degree, because all they want is an ideal person, and that's that. Vice versa with women, just want someone that can cater to them, you know, and to their needs and their wants and things of that sort. Having a one-sided relationship, it's not realistic in this day and time. So it also entails a person fear of commitment, because they don't have to give of themselves if it's just a one-sided relationship, right? So yeah, then being overly critical of suitors on a date. So when you on a nice date, you get to know the person, you're collecting data on a person, and you're deciding whether you want to move forward or court this person, and you realize at the end of the day, oh, this person doesn't look this certain way, you know, but they could be, they may not be what you want, but they could be someone who you need, someone who can give you that experience to grow, you know, even if you don't be in a long-term relationship, but because you're being overly critical, oh, because this person didn't show up on time, then this means that, or just because this person lied in my past and this person is showing, you know, triggers of lying, you know, at the end of the day, you know, that's you being critical. That's your critical voice. And that can be also a stimulation of fear of commitment. And then when you think about lack of interest and originality in a relationship, what that means is that when you are in a relationship with someone and you know, let's say you feel that they look better than you or whatever the case might be, or however way, you only spark an interest based off of what that other person likes and things of that sort. But meanwhile, you don't have no originality in the relationship, meaning you don't do nothing for yourself outside of the relationship. So how can you bring something new if you only have a mundane life where you're just doing a routine thing? And there's no interest. You're not doing anything that's exciting. So once the person brings that to the table, it's either you take an interest or you don't. And at the end of the day, that can be a stimulation of fear of commitment, because when you don't go out and explore, when you don't allow yourself to experience relationship with other people, whether they are a suitor for you or not, that can prevent you and stifle you from having a committed and healthy relationship. Now, the others are self-explanatory as far as attracting emotionally unavailable people, because you know that at the end of the day, you don't want to be committed. People abandoning you at the end of the day, you know at the end of the day, you don't want to be committed once again. And then bringing your past to judge your new relationship, scarred from a previous relationship, and you bringing that into the new. These are all things that are self-explanatory and I don't need to elaborate on. And as far as non-committal in the relationship and how it often resorts to friend zone and friends with benefits, is because people fear commitment. And as long as they could benefit from it, the more they will be not in a non-committal relationship, whereas they're not really reaping the benefits, the good benefits of a healthy relationship. Okay? So with that being said, we're going to move along to how to overcome the fear of commitment. So I'm going to briefly share an experience, but in a monologue way. And I hope that all my listeners will be able to enjoy it. And I'm going to also give some pointers on how to overcome the fear of commitment. So with that being said, we're going to take a moment and we'll be right back. Okay, and I'm back. Okay, so I'm just going to go over a brief monologue. It's just going to basically share an experience with fear of commitment. So with that being said, sit back and relax and enjoy the monologue. Imagine growing up in a single-parent home with one older sibling, same sex as you. No father figure or man figure in the home other than the mother archetype, home away from home. That being your mother, the caretaker and breadwinner, and grandmother, archetype and nurturer. Imagine being raised by only one sex that encourages the imbalance of a single-parent home based on experiences, short-lived relationships with the opposite sex, abuse, verbal, physical, or sometimes emotional. Or growing up seeing the only parent, an older sibling, you know, have a series of failed relationships and happiness. Or should I say, lack of happiness. Now imagine growing up and inadvertently becoming what you never wanted to be, but find yourself repeating either the same or similar cycle as your loved ones. Only thing is, you realize you're not as good as them as far as the game or being a player. You discover a void and plenty of heartbreaks because of a false belief system, such as being a strong black independent woman who didn't need a man, or even better, have a man telling you what you should and shouldn't do, especially with your body. Lack of a man archetype in the home for balance and harmony. And taking life and relationships for granted, which is why the curse still remains of non-committal relationships, enabling immaturity and naivety from within. Imagine men known for using you, abusing you, and disposing of you, and you allow it as a woman, only to get played repeatedly like a broken violin that has lost its rhythm and blues. You think, what's love got to do with it? It has everything to do with it when we're blind to it and in search of it in the wrong people and places. She said, who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? You're right, Tina, but what's life without a beating and bruised heart that still has the strength to keep going? Today, fear of commitment stems from a heart that has been damaged beyond repair, emotionally, mentally, and physically. Fear of commitment stems from, metaphorically, collecting garbage throughout the years, not throwing out the trash when the shit started to smell like rotten ass. Or better yet, learning when to clean house altogether. Gaining invisible scars that'll never disappear or go away. Always a reminder of the pain felt. Fear of commitment stems from the inability to take accountability for the process of healing all in one step after the other. Fear of commitment because of loss of fatherhood and balance in my life and in the home. So that's called Fear of Commitment, the monologue. I hope that you guys enjoyed it and y'all kind of vibed with it. But now I'm going to go into some pointers on how to overcome the fear of commitment. And this is by experience, people. So please listen carefully. So the first thing you need to do is learn how to acknowledge what is broken from within and decide to go on the journey of fixing and mending your heart. The second thing you need to do is learn from each experience by taking accountability. And third, refuse to be a victim with an excuse. The fourth thing would be to create boundaries and develop self-respect and self-love. Even go on a self-love journey. Know what it's like to forgive yourself and forgive the other person and move along in life. Understand the principles of manipulation. A male or female who's manipulative will only do or say to you what you allow them to do to you. Therefore, you teach people how they can treat you based off of what you allow and the many times you give your power away to make them feel powerful with the false pride and dignity So when they put you down, they feel powerful because of that. And that's only because you allow it as a woman or a man. Learn to say no. This is the last 6th thing that you need to do. Learn to say no and become your own best friend who doesn't self-sabotage themselves, but can count on yourself for your own validation and well-being as a person. Okay, not as just an individual, but as a person. And that's how you overcome a fear of commitment. Because once you have a healthy commitment for yourself, and you know that you're not going to hurt or harm yourself, then you know that you can share that same love that you develop and that same respect that you have for yourself. You know you can extend it to someone else because you know that it's healthy. You know you have a healthy commitment for yourself, and that fear becomes diminished. It becomes something that's just of the unknown. It becomes the abyss when you go through the process of healing and things of that sort. Okay, so with that being said, I'm going to go into the comments that were made by Blair Smith and Dr. David Maloney as far as fear of commitment. Okay, so some of the comments that were made from Blair Smith, she says, while we relish the benefit of commitment, we dislike its requirement. It means giving up freedom and taking on new obligations. So my thought on that was that to relish is the benefits, but despise the process, meaning a requirement, is like wanting a house without building a structure or design or actually paying for your desired house. It is an unfair and incomplete view of accepting a commitment based on the perception of the person's idea of freedom and what they think they are giving up in the relationship and replacement of an obligation. Okay? So that was my thoughts on her statement. Another statement she made was, commitment is characterized as dedication and sacrifice. So I always say commitment is a choice to be dedicated to a cause or effect of a relationship. Commitment is also a choice when deciding on what you will give up to receive more of in a relationship, sometimes a sacrifice, right? And then she mentioned constantly idolizing of situations in human life by social media causes us to reduce our desire of real life opportunities we have. So in my opinion, the way I take that is that commitment also helps us to develop as natural beings and realize the greatness that lies within us, such as greater character, traits, or important qualities as a person, which is in fact intangible. However, in addition, commitment helps to encourage trust and reliability in relationships as well, which is a great quality to have as a person. Okay? And then when she say idolizing, on that aspect of that, she says constantly idolizing of situations, yeah, blase, blase, as I said before, idolizing a life on social media without understanding the process of commitment and hard work in real life can lead to a person's inability to discover one's fullest potential and may encourage laziness or an entitled mindset where people who aren't worthy of a life they idolize without the experience of committing to the process, sustainability, and efforts. Okay? Another factor she said, unprecedented freedom of choice also works against us as well. That was a good valid point that she made, because freedom of choice and many options can cause a person to become indecisive or feel as though the grass is much greener on the other side if they do not commit. Mm-hmm. And then last thing, Blair Smith also made another statement where she said, addiction to the freedom of not committing ourselves can sabotage our efforts to reach important goals, which I think is a fact, because we self-sabotage when we compare ourselves to others or prematurely develop a false belief that either the effort isn't worth it or the grass is greener and much easier on the other side. So this is the false belief that we adopt to prevent from committing or being non-committal in a relationship, you know? So with that being said, we'll move along to David Maloney. It's a YouTube video that he had put up about fear of commitment. And he says a person's belief system can impact the way they develop relationships with others. When a person believes commitment is not as good as it is outside of the relationship, meaning giving up being with other people or giving up freedom of choice when they are in a relationship. Therefore, what that is what often prevents a person from committing or giving up their individuality because of those two things, giving up being with other people and giving up freedom of choice. And that's more or less of an exclusive relationship, what he was pertaining to. Another factor that David Maloney mentioned is the solution to the issue is that the person needs to be aware of what they are getting out of the relationship that they can get from outside of it. So when you look at the benefit of being with that person or being in an exclusive relationship with that person, and you realize that it's more beneficial to you for you to be in the relationship than outside of the relationship, you begin to understand the value and reestablish why you are committed in a relationship and not just going through the motions and experiences of it. Okay? And then another factor that he mentioned was where he said, determine what are your partner's emotional needs in order to help get their mind off a lack of commitment. So basically, this goes back to being beneficial when you focus on your partner needs and understand that you also have to make sure your needs are being met and you're able to articulate that in a way where it's realistic for the other person to meet while you meet theirs in a commitment. Okay, so those were my thoughts on that, and I hope you guys enjoyed the show. It was something a little spice to it as far as doing a little monologue, and you know, I hope that y'all enjoyed the show. So with that being said, I thank you all for taking the time for listening to The Memoirs of Her, and bye-bye.